but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. O most merciful and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we may come this evening to this hour of worship. We thank thee for the bonds of community that bind us together. Community in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer this evening is, O God, that thy Spirit may dwell in our midst, that we may truly worship thee, that in so doing we may gain deeper insight into ourselves, into our ministries, and deeper insight, O God, into ways in which we may serve each other here in this place. May experiences such as this tonight draw us closer together, uniting us more strongly in a common purpose as we study and seek to grow as Christians. We remember, O Father, those in our community who have recently had especially heavy burdens and who still have them. Wilt thou be with them and comfort them and enable us to find ways in which we may minister to them in thy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to read from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, first through the ninth verse. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Few people would deny that the choice of an occupation or a vocation is one of the major decisions of life. For many a Christian, this decision is made with little or no reference to his or her Christian commitment. For many here tonight, it might be said that they were spared the decision. Rather, they were called to professional or vocational Christian service. But is that really the case? If so, what of these others, the so-called laity? Have they not also been called? According to common word usage, the answer may be yes. John feels called to be a singer, or Mary really found her calling as a secretary. I have pointed to two concerns which I believe are important to all of us. One is the confusion surrounding the use of the terms call and calling by Christians, confusion which often accompanies and is in part responsible for weak commitment of the fragmented lives of laymen, and for private misgivings about the integrity of the vocational decision of those in professional ministries. The other concern is the failure of Christians to relate vocational choices to their Christian profession. These can really be reduced to one concern, a concern for a clear and applicable understanding of the relation of that important biblical symbol, the Christian calling, to one's vocation or occupation. The time is neither adequate nor appropriate for a thorough examination of the ideas call and calling, where they appear frequently in both the Old and New Testaments. For those who are interested, I would refer you to such writers as Henley Barnett in his book Christian Calling and Vocation, which includes an extensive bibliography as well as a treatment. Passages read this evening are good examples, the first in our call to worship and the second in the scripture. It is not my purpose to circumscribe the way or ways in which God calls a person, nor to imply any lack of reality in anyone's experience with God. I would simply like to share my own tentative understanding, which has come as I have struggled to find vocational expression for my own Christian calling. I believe and firmly hope that the following three basic statements are consistent with the whole gospel and relevant to seminarians and their families. The first is that basically there is but one calling for the Christian, and that calling is to be a Christian. It is the upward call of God in Christ, God's summons to us to the new life in Christ, a calling of the whole person in which every aspect of life is to be integrated into one whole response to that call. This response, of course, is one of service to our Lord Jesus Christ and to our fellow man. The second point or statement of my understanding, which will require some elaboration, is that God leads persons in finding vocational or occupational expression for this one basic Christian calling. Now, our society is such that most persons find it necessary to engage in work which has some economic value, marketable work, we might call it. Such work is a means, not an end for the Christian, a means of sustaining oneself and one's family, but secondly, a means of serving a need in society. Now, in the church, all of us have a ministry regardless of our occupation. The church has functional offices, as Ephesians says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. These ministries coincide with grace gifts, that some should be apostles and some prophets, some teachers. The symbol call or calling is used in connection with these ministries in the church. And in the sense that this calling is a further specification of the basic calling to be a Christian, I think this is fine. But perhaps because of the confusion surrounding this biblical symbol, call, it might be better if it were not used. For the church chooses to make some of these ministries into occupations, into marketable work, which we sometimes call church-related vocations. Now, within the context of God's call to us to be Christians, He leads us in finding an occupation. I believe that God intends that we use all the resources available to us to gain self-understanding and to gain an understanding of the vocational possibilities which lie before us. And I believe that God intends that we make a careful assessment of the possibilities of our fulfilling our total Christian commitment, of fulfilling this calling through a particular vocational choice. To me, this implies that we must be concerned with the wholeness of persons, the wholeness of ourselves, the wholeness of our families. It is difficult for me to believe that God calls a man to a vocation, for example, which would destroy his wife and children in the process, and destroy their personalities, their wholeness. Secondly, I think this careful assessment of the possibility of fulfilling our Christian calling through a particular vocation implies that we must see the possibility of proclaiming the gospel by word and by deed in a ministry of reconciliation while engaging in this vocation. Now, when I said that God leads us in finding an occupation to fulfill and to express our Christian calling, I want to emphasize that this occupation, this vocation, is never quite the equivalent of that Christian calling. And thus there is always tension between one's occupation and one's Christian calling. This is certainly true for the layman, but I think it is equally true for those of us who are in church-related vocations. Never let us think that the professional work which we do is exactly equivalent to the fulfillment of our Christian calling. And the third point that I would like to make is that in trying to express my understanding of the relation of the Christian calling to vocation is that God's calling to us is a constant thing, but the vocational expression of this calling may change. We make the best decision that we can at a given time in our lives, but God grants us new light as we grow in mind, in body, and in spirit. New light to understand ourselves, to understand the gospel and its implications more fully. New light to understand the world in which we live. We're on a pilgrimage. Life for us changes. We're not the same today as we were yesterday or a year ago. And is it not entirely conceivable that God may have a different task for you today than he had for you when you were 16 years old or 18 years old or 25 years old? We should remain open to the continuing leadership of the Holy Spirit, fully committed, not fearing to change the form of service which is used as an expression of our basic Christian calling. It seems to me tragic for one to go through life without some sense of fulfillment of his Christian calling in the daily work that he does. I hope that each of us as ministers who have the opportunity to work with laymen, with young people in our churches, will help them to examine their lives and their vocations in the light of their Christian calling. And further, I hope that each of us will have the courage to look honestly at ourselves. We have on this campus professional help in this process of self-examination. Above all, we have God's help if we seek it honestly and openly. God, through Christ, has reconciled us to Himself and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Is it not right that we should seek to examine our hearts, our minds, to discover the possibility of our being able to exercise a ministry of reconciliation, considering what we are as persons through the particular vocational decision that we have made? Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the upward call of God in Jesus Christ, for thy marvelous grace, which has reconciled us to thee and has given us ministries of reconciliation. Enable us to see that these ministries of reconciliation can be exercised through many different occupations, vocations. And above all, our Father, enable us to be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, both now and evermore. Amen.